Chapter 28. Rouge. Zoe pulled her newly freed hair up into two poofs, one on each side of her head, and tucked it into the cap that went under her headset. She had spent a few hours the night before undoing her braids, and her head still felt really strange. She had used about a gallon of conditioner, but her curls still weren't as springy as she was used to. The hairstyle change had had the desired effect, though, and between that and wearing a big, bulky sweatshirt, she had stopped getting those sidelong looks from almost everyone at school. Unfortunately, by the time she finished her homework and her hair, she'd had hardly any time in-game on Thursday. Then she'd had school today, so here it was on Friday night, and she hadn't even been able to play for almost 3 in-game days. Even her dad had taken a shift, logging on during his lunch break, and she was still worrying over the message he'd sent that Jiminy and Lionel had run off again. As she was climbing into her pod, her screen buzzed from where it sat on the small table nearby. Zoe rolled her eyes. Jace again, no doubt. He refused to leave her alone, from the moment she left the house in the morning, until she walked through the door after school. He'd even dragged poor Sophia along during lunch, even though Zoe was sure the other girl would have preferred having him all to herself. Zoe would have preferred that too, actually, since she felt more than a little awkward watching them bill and coo like amorous doves. Well, she'd see him in-game soon enough, so no big deal. Everyone knew that Akuji was due to arrive at Refuge sometime this weekend, and they were all determined to spend as much time online as possible. The screen buzzed again, and then, amazingly, it actually started to ring. Jace only called when it was an emergency, and she started to reach for the device, but stopped. He would just have to tell her virtual face to virtual face. She laid back, pressed the switch to seal the pod and fill it with goop, and closed her eyes. Rouge was right where Zoe had left her, sleeping in Aspen's spare bed. That was the only thing that was the same, however, and as soon as she blinked her eyes open, her vision was covered with a flood of notifications. Hear ye, the gods of good and evil, light and dark, peace and war, have issued a challenge to all travelers within the realm of Veritas. You must choose sides, for the battle has been joined. Will you fight for good? The Light Pantheon includes most gods and goddesses of peaceful pursuits, such as music and crafting. The leader of the Pantheon is Gina, and if you are a follower of Gina and choose not to follow the Pantheon of Light, you will lose all favor with Gina, and you will never be able to regain a positive reputation with her. Note, your goddess Gina is a member of the Pantheon of Light. There will be severe repercussions if you choose not to follow this pantheon. Fight for evil. The Dark Pantheon includes most gods and goddesses of war or battle. The leader of the Pantheon is Apophis, and if you are a follower of Apophis and choose not to follow the Pantheon of Dark, you will lose all favor with Apophis, and you will never be able to regain a positive reputation with him. Choose wisely. The notice refused to be minimized or rejected, so Rouge quickly chose the Light Pantheon. That was easy enough, but she wondered what had happened to trigger a world event. After all, it wasn't like Refuge being surrounded by cultists and self-centered murder hobos was new since her last log on. Secret quest, who run the world updated? Opposing faction current completion, 63%. Rouge the Rouge current completion, 53%. Whoa now. Last time she'd checked, the IV was still sitting at 41% after Phantom Hat was killed. Rouge was starting to get a really bad feeling about what was happening right now. Unfortunately, the demanding notices weren't done with her yet. Quest, did you really think it was that easy? Failed. Somehow, Lich Lord Akuji has transcended death itself. Until you discover how, he cannot be defeated. You must destroy Akuji and his minions again, this time completely. Learn Akuji's secret, and send him and the Traveler Phantom Hat to Atai's embrace. Failure, death, and the deaths of all those you love. Rouge stared at the notice. Failed. How had she failed this quest? They knew what Akuji's weakness was. They even had the stupid soul gem. Well, technically Mott had the soul gem since his guardian wall class had zero magic by definition, but there was no way he'd lost it, right? Plus, she'd killed Fanny Hat, and even though they were still working on figuring out how to break the gem, there was no doubt. Rouge. Thank Gina, you're here. Silas' voice was frantic, and the little bat flew in through the window, landing on Rouge's shoulder awkwardly. Rouge brushed away the quest notification. Silas was part of all those you love, and she obviously wasn't dead, so no matter what the quest said, there was still hope. It was obviously glitched or something, and she'd have to send Bridget a message as soon as. Akuji is here, and he captured Aspen. Aspen managed to use detect magic, so we could see Akuji arrive, even though he was sneaky and teleported in or something, and then he used Winnow to release some of the people the cultists had forced to help them, and there was a huge fight, but then Mott went out to try to save Aspen, and he got killed, and… Rouge was on her feet, running for the door, even though her head was spinning with all the information Silas was throwing at her. What do you mean Mott got killed? Where is he? Where's the gem? As she burst into the main room of the little farmhouse, she realized that it was packed with people. Sarave was there, and her face was streaked with tear tracks, though she was pale and calm now. Horace, Florence, Rothgan, and Cap'n Kyle mingled with Goblin Justat, as they crowded around the big hand-drawn map on the table. Meanwhile, Manuela, Tomas, and Plum were in a huddle around what looked like… Jiminy? Wasn't he supposed to be captured? Zoe had fully expected to get a quest to rescue them, but this… Was this what those messages and call had been about? Had her dad been trying to tell her something before she logged in? No, now that she thought about it, that hadn't been his ringtone, or Jace's for that matter, so who had been trying to call her? Everyone looked around as Rouge ran into the room, and while Kyle just ignored her and went back to what he was doing, most people nodded, and Sarave, Vaughn, and Plum offered her weak smiles. Rouge slid through the small gaps between people and made her way over to their group. What's going on? She demanded, staring around. Why is everyone here when there's a perfectly good castle downstairs? I told you, Silas began, but Manuela, who couldn't hear the bat, was also speaking. This young fool snuck out last night. Manuela glared at Jiminy, who looked genuinely frightened and regretful for possibly the first time in his entire life. Aspen came up with some damned fool idea to rescue him and his little sidekick, and it went sideways. Akuji's already here, and he caught Aspen. He sent a messenger saying he'd trade Aspen for the gem, and your father took it to him. Manuela's jaw was clenched, but the look in her eyes held more anguish than anger. Of course, Akuji did what he always does and betrayed Mott. Drained him right before our eyes, and then his bone golems tore Mott apart like he was wet paper. Jiminy swallowed hard, looking sick. The boy was pale and had one arm in a sling, but otherwise looked unharmed, and Rouge was glad for that, in a distant kind of way. Rouge felt like she too was going to be sick, because she had a feeling that whatever had happened to her dad hadn't been pleasant. Even though he kept his pain settings at about 40%, which was the happy medium between not getting any benefits for being a masochist, while also not taking any debuffs for being a weenie. When, her voice cracked, and she had to clear her throat before she could continue. When did all this happen? Manuela pondered, then sighed. Aspen was captured not long after noon. Your father went out against orders perhaps half an hour ago. He died no more than 10 minutes gone. I know you travelers can return from death, but still I'm sorry, lass. Rouge bit her lip hard. Of course her dad had gone. If Akuji had been hurting Aspen, there was no way Mott was just going to sit still and watch, no matter what anyone said. But why had he actually taken the diamond? He was around for the last war, and he knew Akuji broke almost every promise he ever made. It did explain the jump in Akuji's completion percentage, though, and why she'd failed that stupid quest. For a moment, she was torn. Mott wouldn't be able to log back on for a few hours after a death like that. Thanks to the temple, he'd respawn in Refuge, but it was entirely possible that Refuge would be a pile of rubble by then. Should she log back out just for a minute and check her messages? What did he know that she didn't? Gee, ogh. Rouge's head swiveled as she tried to focus on the sound. It was incredibly faint, but it almost sounded like, Aspen? That's what I've been trying to tell you. Silas' voice was unusually sharp, and she butted her soft head hard against Rouge's jaw. Akuji doesn't know about party chat, so Aspen can still talk to us. You need to go to the south wall, so we can hear him better. Rouge smiled nervously at Manuela. So yeah, thanks. I need to go though. She edged toward the door, but Manuela frowned at her, then nodded toward the confab around the map. Queen Saravale would like to speak to you. She needs to know what you and the other travelers intend to do now. At the sound of her name, Sarave looked up and gestured to Rouge. Rouge, the Goblin Queen said, do you think any of your? Rouge swallowed hard, still hearing faint hints of Aspen's voice tickling her brain. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Beauty of Edigo. With that jumble of words, she turned and threw herself out the window. She'd done this 100 times by now, and she easily caught the edge of the windowsill with the tips of her fingers, then looked down into the darkness below. Sure enough, there was her faithful battle ostrich, staring up at her with large expectant eyes. Here I come, Wally, she called, and then she let go. Codswallop huffed slightly as she landed on her feet in his saddle, but he stayed steady until she dropped down into her seat, tucking her knees behind his fluffy black and white wings. Silas had flown free when Rouge dropped, and she circled overhead briefly before flying off to the south like an arrow. Follow that bat! Rouge yelled, and Codswallop took off, soaring high as he leapt forward. When his powerful jumps took him to the top of a shed, and then onto the town hall's roof, Rouge whooped almost involuntarily. Codswallop took this as encouragement, and stretched out into even greater leaps, hurtling through the air so far and so fast that his motion was nearly indistinguishable from flight. Only the occasional vigorous surge upward let her know that he was still touching down just long enough to jump again. And when he abruptly halted at the top of the southern wall, she was only saved from being thrown by her desperate grip around his neck. Rouge? Aspen sounded tired, and Rouge, looking out over the sea of enemies below, felt the sense of joyous abandon brought on by Codswallop's mad dash drain away. I'm here, Aspen. What's going on? Aspen chuckled bleakly. I'm still an overconfident fool, is what's going on. I was so certain I would save those boys without revealing our plans, that I didn't even consider the possibility that it was a trap. If I'd taken half a minute to think, I would have known. Akuji and his people don't keep anyone alive unless they think they can use them. Including me. Rouge clenched her teeth. What do they want? Why did Mott even go out there? I mean to save you, obviously, but why alone, and why with the diamond? There was a long pause, and Rouge wished she could see Aspen's face. I used Winnow directly on Akuji. It didn't do anything to him, though Mott said it seems to have freed some of the cultist's slaves. But when I used Winnow on the Soul Gem, King Chester was still in there. Another heartbeat stretched into 10 before Aspen continued. I asked Mott to bring the diamond to Akuji, Rouge. What? She yelled, then realized he couldn't hear her and switched back to chat. What? Why? I think Chester is stronger than Akuji gives him credit for. The head librarian said that Akuji has to refresh or renew his bond with his soul gem soon. I think if some part of Chester is still alive in there when he does that, it may give us a chance. But he also said that if we just waited, the soul stone would crumble on its own, right? How many will die while we wait, Rouge? Aspen sounded defeated, and her heart sank into her toes as she realized he was right. The whole thing, the soul stone, the quest, all of it was tied to some arbitrary time limit set up before Rouge ever got involved with this mess. According to the info dump she'd gotten when they first met Akuji, that time limit was September 12th. Today was not September 12th, and the odds were really, really good that the gem wouldn't be crumbling any significant amount of time before then. Silas buried her head in Rouge's braids, and Codswallop, as if sensing his person's distress, twisted his long neck back so he could hide his beak in the braids on the opposite side from where Silas sat. Absently, Rouge reached up and petted both of them, taking consolation from the feeling of their warm, loving bodies beneath her fingers. So, what are we supposed to do? Rouge finally managed to ask. Just sit here and hope that when Akuji reunites with his ugly rock, he just gives up? Like King Chester the Weakling just up and kicks an ancient Lich Lord out of his body and says, see ya? Not exactly, these words held a hint of uncertainty, but by the time Aspen went on, he was back to his usual know-it-all self. Listen, Akuji doesn't want to take any chances that I'll get away, so he's keeping me nearby. I'm able to hear him talking to his servants, and I found out how Akuji has been able to break through the protection of the Bluestones.